For them, life in the present was a kind of exalted existence above the mundane concerns and realities of life. For these people, since they had already had experience of a new life in Christ, they had already been saved. Their bodily existence, therefore, didn't really matter, since the body had been transcended by those who were closely related to Christ. For these people, true believers had already begun to experience the full effects of salvation. Those who were truly spiritual were the ones who were most fully transcended from this material realm. Those who were most spiritual had gone out of their bodies, in a sense, transcended their bodies, and were experiencing the full benefits of salvation in the here and now. Some historians have seen this Corinthian view as a kind of forerunner of Gnosticism that we mentioned previously, with its belief that the material world was evil, but that it could not ultimately affect the divine spark within that had already acquired the knowledge of salvation. This is a disputed point, whether these Corinthians are sort of forerunners of what you're going to get with Gnostics. In any event, Paul saw this particular point of view that people had, that they had already experienced the full benefits of salvation, as the key to all the other problems, which is why he deals with it last in his famous chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And so now I want to talk a little bit about this chapter and show how Paul deals with this big problem. As I've already read to you, Paul begins this chapter by establishing common ground with the Corinthians about what he taught them when they converted. He taught them that Christ died according to the Scriptures and that Christ had been raised according to the Scriptures. His death was proved by the fact that he was buried. His resurrection was proved by the fact that people saw him, including Cephas, the 12, the other apostles, Paul himself. Jesus' resurrection for Paul was not merely a spiritual resurrection of Jesus' soul. Jesus' resurrection was a physical resurrection. This is the key point to the chapter. Jesus' body was actually seen after he arose from the dead. People experienced it somehow. This means, though, that if Christians are also going to be raised from the dead, as Christ was, that their resurrection will not just be a spiritual resurrection, it will be a physical resurrection. Since Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, then everybody will be raised like him, which means they'll be raised physically. But since that means Christians are going to be raised physically, it obviously hasn't happened yet. Paul is disputing the interpretation of some of the Corinthians who say they've already been raised from the dead, already been given an exalted existence. In fact, it hasn't happened yet. Christians are not experiencing the full benefits of salvation. The full benefits of salvation will come only at the end when Christ returns and raises the dead and brings immortality to those who are living. Paul's teaching here reflects what he says in other passages of his letters, including the intriguing words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. This has become an important passage for some modern Christians, especially evangelical Christians who are firm believers that there's going to be a rapture at the end of time. The doctrine of the rapture is that Christ will return from heaven and those who are living will be transported up into heaven. Then those who have died already will also be sort of taken up into the clouds, and that there will be then this kind of reunion up in the sky. The term rapture doesn't occur in the 1 Thessalonians. In fact, the term rapture doesn't occur anywhere in the New Testament. But the passage is based on this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says that we believe that Jesus died and raised again, so too, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.